During the George Floyd riots, Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey abandoned the city's third precinct, surrendering it to rioters, then set fire to it.
The mayor defends abandoning the third precinct.
If we were to continue to attempt to hold the first third precinct, very likely there would have been hand-to-hand combat, likely serious injury, and maybe death.
After the George Floyd riots, Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey was in the spotlight to defund the police.
Majority of Minneapolis's city council is pledging to defund or dismantle the police department following the death of George Floyd. However, the city's mayor, Jacob Frey, opposes that. Protesters chanted, "Go home, Jacob," over the weekend after he said he does not support dismantling the department. Well, you campaigned on reform. That's part of how you got elected. You have reformed the body cam policy. You have banned warrior training. But we still have the George Floyd incident. Is reform enough?
I don't want to comment on precisely what the council meant by disbanding or ending the police force. I think there's varying opinions. But what I'm saying is, look, I'm not for abolishing, but deep structural reform, absolutely, we have to make it happen.
To reform the police, they decided to replace SWAT teams with social workers. Governor Tim Walz gave it his stamp of approval while admitting they don't have the staff to do it.
This idea of violence interveners and problem solvers or social workers pairing with police to respond to some mental health calls, many of those are domestic situations that escalate very quickly and turn violent. How realistic is it to have a social worker respond with a police officer in real time? I'm just curious, would it almost require a separate force of social workers and violence interveners to respond to these calls? And how would that work in practicality?
Well, here's what I would tell you is when it comes to social workers, I've been talking about this forever. I think we talk about Minnesota, and I oftentimes point the rosy picture of where we rank on certain things. You've heard me say this as a teacher, we rank last on school counselors and social workers. So one of the things is of trying to find those people, trying to have them out there and trying to have them integrated into real life.
Last week on Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024, Davis Maturi was doing yard work outside his South Minneapolis home when his neighbor shot him.
Surveillance video obtained by NBC Minneapolis affiliate Care 11 shows the moment Maturi fell to the ground.
His neighbor, John Sawchak, was then charged with second-degree attempted murder, first-degree assault, and stalking and harassment because Maturi has been reporting him to the police for over a year.
According to court documents, Maturi had called police on Sawchak 19 times in the last year, alleging his neighbor had threatened to kill him and his wife, brandished a knife at them, and hurled racial slurs.
Maturi was told by a female police commander that her officers were frightened of Sawchak, and she didn't want to put them at risk. After shooting his neighbor, Sawchak was not arrested. They sent social workers and psychologists to try and de-escalate the situation. And after days of this, Frey and O'Hara had a press conference to complain about the public's outrage.
To that victim, I say I am sorry that this happened to you. But it could not be anything further from the truth to say that we did nothing or that we just simply don't care. That's not true. Everything that we do is impacted by the reality that the police department is much smaller today than what it was prior to 2020, and we are dealing with a much higher call load. We cannot, as a community, on one hand say, hey, we want cops to use less force. We want less SWAT teams. We want more de-escalation. And then when we actually do that, say, how come the cops didn't use the SWAT team right away? We have been there 24/7 the last few days. We have been using our behavioral threat assessment team. We have used a psychiatrist. We have spoken to this individual's family. We have made dozens of attempts to contact this person. But again, to say that we simply don't care or we did nothing is simply not true.
This feels a whole lot more like politics than it does like somebody that's trying to find a solution. We're about trying to find a solution right now. Again, less politics. That kind of thing is gross.
Hours after this press conference, Sawchak was finally arrested and taken into custody.
From Greg Reese, ladies, Reese report available at band.video and infowars.com. We'll be right back.
The lesson I want you to learn is it doesn't matter what you look like. You can can be tall or short, or fat or thin, or ugly, or handsome, like your father. You can be black or yellow or white. It doesn't matter. What does matter is the size of your heart and the strength of your character.
Infowars.com.
I represent science.
A bioterrorist attack is the
nightmare scenario.
You will eat the bugs.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of American Journal is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, Infowars.com, band.video. Share those links, share the information, get out to vote, become a poll watcher. We are in the crucible at this moment, and where we go from here is determined entirely by your participation or not. Whether you are willing to go up against the Democrats with the same fervor and passion that they have in destroying everything that we love about this country. Thankfully, there are a few, however rare, examples of leftists or Democrats who after years of this, even after really decades of the gaslighting, it's finally become enough. Right? It's like at a certain point, whether it was the lies about Joe Biden, the lies about Donald Trump, like there was finally a straw that broke the camel's back, which is astonishing because up till this point, the camel has been walking around with, you know, several skyscrapers worth of weight on its back. I mean, the level of lying has been overwhelming for a very long time. But finally, you know, they went too far. Finally, they're starting to lose some of the more, I don't know, observant or thoughtful people on the left. I don't even know if they're the more observant or thoughtful. Sometimes it's just people that get screwed over by their own side. In fact, now that I think about it, that is the deciding factor. I didn't realize it till just now. But that is what it is. We figured it out. If you want to break people away from the leftist cult, they just have to accidentally say something or do something that the leftist cult doesn't like. Now, I didn't realize this till just now because I got two videos I want to show you. One is Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks. The other is Mayor Adams from New York. Both of them saying similar things about the rhetoric and the lies and the division of the Democratic Party. I just realized, oh yeah, both of these people were attacked by their own side for not being sufficiently blind to the problems that their side caused. So Anna Kasparian was assaulted by homeless people, complained about this, and was attacked by her own side. And this was the first, you know, chink in the armor. This was the first hole in the dam that is slowly but surely becoming a flood. Mayor Adams criticized the migrant crisis and was suddenly hit with, you know, criminal charges and arrested and had his house searched. So I was going to say, like, what, you know, I was trying to think, like, what is it about these two people that has allowed them to break away from the Democrat cult? And I realized it's because both of them were attacked by the cult. Sort of one of the internal corrective measures of liberalism. It's almost like a natural law. It's like when you are so cultish, so despicable, so dishonest, so demanding of total, complete, submissive agreement with the will of the majority, it's like an inevitable thing that any free thinker, anybody with even the ability, let alone the will, to think for themselves is going to be attacked. Eventually, they're going to leave. And there's like a poison pill in the very mindset of leftism, and we've talked about this forever, all the way back in 2016, people being surprised that Bernie Sanders submitted to Hillary Clinton, even though she blatantly cheated. People were confused by this, and it's like, what do you not understand? This is the ideology. The ideology is one of groupthink. It is one of submission of the self to the crowd. It's not out of character, out of line, that a socialist would submit to the authority. That's the point of their ideology. That's what they believe, totally. Okay? So let's go to these videos. First, we'll go to Anna Kasparian, sounding, frankly, a hell of a lot like me yesterday. Let's go to clip 21.
Can we just please not provide cover for our leaders when they make mistakes like this? That was a terrible mistake that Biden made. It should not be justified. Again, if you're a private citizen and you have your personal views about the Republican electorate, that's on you and that's your business. You have not taken an oath to represent the country. You're not the president of the United States. And I don't know why anyone would think it's a good idea to celebrate or applaud political culture in this country that allows for the president to just regularly trash tens of millions of people that he himself is supposed to be representing. That is not a good culture to set. And things will just continue devolving. I don't think that this is a winning thing to do. I'm not proud of what Biden did. And honestly, the thing that frustrates me even more is that after he made those statements, even though he was on video making those statements, a bunch of people are totally gaslighting about how it didn't happen. It's totally made up. It's fake. It's a scary world that we're currently living in, where a lot of people, a lot of voters, a lot of people in the media, just not based in, their views are not based in reality at all. And they would rather lie to people in order to cover up a mistake or a terrible act of an individual in a position of power. I don't even recognize what's happened to the Democratic Party anymore, to be honest. And luckily, you have people like Kamala Harris pushing back, and I'm really proud of her for doing that. And if you're offended by it, be offended by it. I don't really care. I see the direction that the country is going in with this type of divisive, disgusting rhetoric from people who, again, went out of their way to get elected to represent the people. When you make that decision, when you are awarded that position by the people, you need to represent the people, including the individuals who decided to cast their ballots for someone else.
Incredible things are happening, folks. Incredible things are happening. Some semblance of logic is breaking its way through the firewall of Democratic madness. And it's a beautiful thing to see. She's exactly right. I mean, she sounds like she's on InfoWars. You people are dislocated from reality. Now, the issue with this is that, Anna Kasparian herself might be most famous for and was memed into existence by calling all Trump supporters garbage, ironically enough. And she makes a little caveat there where she's like, if you're a private person, it's okay. You haven't taken an oath to represent half the country or, represent the whole country. And now you're insulting half. So she carves out a little caveat for herself. But I should have grabbed that video. And if the crew can bring it in, people haven't seen it. She went totally viral in 2016 after the election of Donald Trump for saying in no uncertain terms, you are garbage. I am better than you. You are garbage. So it's like, okay. This is who you people are. So, if you're mad that this is the discourse, look in the frickin' mirror, you weirdos. And it's the classic continuous and still to this day constant thing where, like, Donald Trump will insult a person or a select group of people. It happened with Joe Rogan. Donald Trump's talking about The View, and he says these women are so stupid. And then that's extrapolated out, that's cut out, and then it's presented with the headline, Trump calls women stupid. Trump insults or criticizes a black person. He criticizes whoever, Whoopi Goldberg. And that becomes Trump says about black people, blah, blah, blah. Trump insults all black people. Trump says this about black women. It's like, no, he said that. I mean, it's crazy because it's like still going on, right? His Joe Rogan episode has this example with The View, these crazy women. And of course, like the first viral moment of Trump's political career was only Rosie O'Donnell. Like it is a continual, from the very beginning to the very end, has been a continual aspect of the coverage of Trump that he will talk about a person and they extrapolate it to everybody. But because they do that, because the people only read the headlines or because they listen to the clips of Trump out of context, they think it's true that Trump is calling all women stupid or all black people, whatever. And so I guess they feel justified when they actually do say the things that they say. So in one case, you'll have Donald Trump saying something about Whoopi Goldberg. They'll say Trump says all black people, blah, blah, blah. And then you've got major Democratic politicians and operatives, well, like the president of the United States, saying the only garbage I see are Trump supporters or ultra MAGA or domestic terrorists. Or they'll just straight up be like, white people are all evil and they all need to die. Like they just come out and say, so it's like, and then they go, this rhetoric has gotten out of control. Actually, there was a good, Babylon Bee headline about this. Biden calls on deplorable garbage Nazis to tone down the rhetoric. That's exactly right. Biden calls on deplorable garbage Nazis. Hey, tone down the rhetoric, all right? You're making division here, you garbage Nazi scum. We're not playing the two sides game. We're not pretending like this is just like this is the outcome of Trump, you know, being moderately insulting to Rosie O'Donnell. Like that is not what is brought down. Trump never criticizes the American people like that. They'll say, oh, these activists are crazy. The, you know, the extremists on that side are out of whack. Like he'll say stuff like that. It's the other side, and I don't even need to keep going because it just goes on and on. It goes on and on and on. Again, maybe the best thing to do is just mock and laugh and parody it. But they go, in a renewed effort to lower the political temperature amid lead up to the presidential election next week, President Joe Biden called on all deplorable garbage Nazis to tone down the rhetoric. Quote, listen up, you Nazis. Here's the deal. Dangerous, inflammatory rhetoric has no place in our political discourse. That's why I'm calling on all of Donald Trump's nasty, disgusting, disease-infested, Hitler-loving supporters to knock it off. Got it? The idea these sewer-dwelling, racist, women-hating fascists would try to infect our democracy with such vile, and by the way, they're the worst, the absolute scum of the earth, walking pieces of human scat. And this time, but this time is a time for unity. We have to come together as one people, all of us, along with the hideous, festering buckets of human slime who support Donald Trump to unite this country. And that's it in speech. Very, very well done by the Babylon Bee. Because again, Anna Kasparian points out, she's like, why are people gaslighting? She says gaslighting the American people. I mean, I swear she copied my monologue yesterday. It's wild. It's wild. The gaslighting the American people. It's on video him saying it. And you have Tim Walz, vice presidential candidate, coming out and saying he never said that. Other people saying it was his stutter, which is why you didn't hear the apostrophe. I mean, you people have a problem. Okay. It's not a both sides thing. It's not a we do it, they do it. You people are the ones doing this. You've always been the ones doing this. This is your entire strategy. Now, ironically, is like here I am being like, you people are bad, but like if you would stop doing that, I wouldn't say this. If you would take this revelation you're having and extrapolate it to all of the other instances of gaslighting and madness and blatant lies and insulting half the electorate and being just terrible, hateful, vengeful, vindictive people, then maybe, you know, we could heal this divide. But you keep voting for these people. You keep electing these people. You keep celebrating these people. You keep believing these liars. So until you stop it, we aren't going to be able to come together as a country. And honestly, it's making us feel like suckers extending the hand of friendship. That's the ultimate outcome of this, is like, we keep being like, no, really, we just want what's best for America. No, seriously, it's like, we're not racist. We just want to close border. We don't hate women. We just want babies to be protected. Like, we just want you on our side. We just want to be a team. We just want to be us against everybody else. You're America. We're America. It's us. We're the team. Everybody who's not on our team is on a different team. So, like, why are you undermining our team? You're going to lose. If we all are all going to lose. So stop doing this. And it's like, I guess we're just being stupid. I guess you just want to be enemies. I guess we just should treat you like enemies. Like, you're running out of time. Very, very rapidly, Republicans, conservatives, decent people that just want to be left alone, that just want a country that runs well, that just doesn't want their kids indoctrinated into some bizarre, perverted sex cult. Like, just stop doing that and we'll be fine. But the people that are feeling that way, like, they're running out of patience. And, like, you are proving time and time again, even when it seems like there's a chance to come together, you people will use that to further commit subversion, to further divide and sow hate. So, like, it's up to you. You Democrats have to stop doing this, or Republicans have to stop being so nice to you. I don't care which one it is. Honestly, it doesn't matter to me. But, like, one of these outcomes has to be where we end up. Either Democrats sincerely stopping insane, nation-destroying morons being led around by the nose by relentless lies, or, like, we have to stop you by force. Like, those are the only options. We've been trying, and it's really been testing our patience over the last 10 years, just getting you to stop doing this, but, like, it's not the only option we have. We can stop being nice, and a lot of people are getting sick of extending out that hand of friendship, welcoming you. Like, we're like, all right, you want to come in? You can come into our house. And you're like, ooh, now I get to steal things. Oh, now that they're letting me in, I can really mess them up. Now that they're extending that friendship to those fools for trusting us. Like, that's what you're doing over and over. So we're going to stop trusting you. We're going to stop trying. And that's fine. Like, I'm fine with that too. I don't care at this point. It's just, you people need to be stopped. So that's your fault. So you did that. It's your fault. And everybody who cares knows it. Let's go to the mayor of New York, Mayor Adams, saying this exact same thing. He also has recognized it because he has also been subjected to their bile. Let's watch.
And they're talking about these real problems we're having. And with all that's going on to everyday New Yorkers, we're asking questions that is someone a fascist or is someone a Hitler? That's insulting to me. That is insulting, and I'm not going to engage in that. Everyone needs to turn down the rhetoric, because after Election Day, we still have to be the United States and not the divided states. And so if people can't understand their real issues facing New Yorkers, and I just find it just humiliating that what everyday mom and pops are doing and going through across this country, that here we are, having this conversation about this silly item. So I refuse to participate in that. I'm going to fight for New Yorkers like I've done for years, and whomever can understand that, they're not in the streets. When I'm at these town halls, talking to people there, they're not asking me these silly questions. We are in this bubble, you know, and I know you guys really believe these stories you're writing. It gives you a lot of clicks. It's exciting. It gives you headlines. But this is not what New Yorkers and Americans are dealing with, folks. They are scared of their future. Someone needs to stand up and say, enough of this. Tone down the rhetoric. Let people hear the facts. Let them vote. And let's decide what the next 4 years are going to be for our city. And that's my position. I can't make it any clearer.
Mayor Adams says it's silly to ask whether Trump is a fascist. Again, you know, maybe they'll make it. Maybe they'll complete their transition eventually into understanding that is literally just their side. Right now, they're still sort of a little bit on the fence. Like, if you ask Anna Kasparian, she'll be like, "There's no, I'm not a Trump supporter. There's no way I'm not a conservative. Those people are horrible." But, like, she'll see. She'll see. She keeps on going down the path she goes down. She'll recognize that, like, wow, it's this really kind of frenetic, hateful energy that compels everything on the left side. And when I go to the right, they genuinely love me. Like, that's the thing. If Anna Kasparian put on a MAGA hat, nobody would have a problem with her. Nobody on our side would care. Like, you'd have a few people, because she has spent her entire career, the last several decades, just leveling the most insulting lies at Trump supporters and MAGA. But, like, we just want you to stop being evil. So just stop and we'll be good. We'll love you. We do love you. Like, we love all of America. We want you all to be on the same page. We want you all to get out from under this cult that you're under. So you'll see. So you'll see. You'll come around. I hope. Probably the same with Adams as well, because he said in that statement, which was mostly true, but he has to drop in the both sides thing. We got to just stop this rhetoric. What rhetoric? Trump pretending to be a garbage man while Biden calls all of his supporters Nazis and him a fascist? Should we both tone down the rhetoric? Trump serving Big Macs? Is that the rhetoric we should tone down? Is it him just saying he loves America and we want to stop the wars and protect the American people? He'll be the protector of women. Like, is that the type of rhetoric he should tone down? Or is it Kamala Harris saying he loves Hitler and wants women to suffer, wants the government to monitor your pregnancies? Did I put that one in? Let's go to clip number 22 here. This is Kamala Harris lying about everything. Nothing she says in this clip is even remotely true. Okay? She lists things out. Not one of them is even accidentally related to reality. Let's watch.
And look, Donald Trump's not done. He would ban abortion nationwide. Nope. Yes, even here in Pennsylvania, if he were successful. Nope. He would restrict access to birth control.
Nope.
Put IVF treatments at risk.
Nope.
And force states to monitor women's pregnancies.
Nope.
Just Google Project 2025. Read not the plans his. For yourself. And let us agree, one does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree. The government shouldn't be telling people what to do.
What is she talking about? So everything she just said there was a lie. Every single thing. Every single thing she mentioned is not just not a priority or a policy that Trump holds. It is the opposite. He has explicitly over and over again said there's no national ban on abortion. He said he loves IVF, monitoring pregnancy. I don't even know what she's talking about there. They're just making things up from whole cloth at this point. Project 2025, which he has repeatedly disavowed over and over again. So who needs to tone down the rhetoric? Who needs to stop lying? Who needs to stop gaslighting their constituents? Us, folks.
We are announcing Ultimate Hydroforce. Now, this is not just electrolytes, okay? This is really a superfood, similar to Vitamin Mineral Fusion, but with a whole bunch more electrolytes and other things in there. It would take me a long time to go through the ingredients, three pages of them here, and what they do. But it's got super high-quality vitamin C, niacin, vitamin B6, vitamin B12, it's got pathogenic acid, vitamin B5, so key, calcium, magnesium, zinc, manganese, chloride, sodium, and more. Potassium, the list goes on and on. And it's all the highest quality sources of it on top of that. And then it funds my broadcast and the crew and all of us continuing on. So we need your support. If InfoWars shuts down November 13th to continue on, regardless, it's going to help us up our game if InfoWars survives. So please go check out this amazing supplement, the highest quality you're going to find, with big discounts and other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. We sought out the very best, highest quality rehydrating product for pre-workout, post-workout, you name it. And we found a top company with top reviews that would let us private label it. And it's beyond just hydration. It's beyond just getting your electrolytes. It's a superfood. It's a pre-workout. It's a post-workout. You've got to go read all the ingredients that are in this bad boy. And then look at the insane low prices, between 30 and 50% off, depending on how many canisters you get of Ultimate HydroForce. Now, again, go look at the ingredients for yourself and the quality of the ingredients and the amount of the ingredients. This baby is next level. This is beyond anything out there at anywhere near this low price. As you know, I always seek to bring you the very best supplements possible so you get a great response, great effects, and you want to come back and get them again. Like a restaurant wants to have tasty, good, delicious food. So there's a line out the door. Well, I've got to admit some false advertising, and next time we're reproduce this, or my sponsors do, we're going to probably have to change the name. And why is that? Well, it's simple. This is called Ultimate HydroForce Electrolyte Drink Mix. But it's really a superfood, post-workout, pre-workout. That's why it's Ultimate HydroForce and more, I guess you say. Hydration, energy, vitamins, minerals, health, immune system. Get your HydroForce exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com.
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA, I'm dark MAGA.
A few weeks ago, when I saw Elon Musk in Pennsylvania with Trump at Butler, and he had that dark MAGA hat on, I said, we've got to have our own. And we've come out with it. Yeah, we can put one out that, you know, just says Make America Great Again, and that's available at thealexjonesstore.com. But I personally like this one, Murdered Out. It fits great, and it funds the InfoWar and supports President Trump. And if you don't like Murdered Out, we got it white on black. So get yours right now and a bunch of other great designs of hoodies and t-shirts and top-of-the-line supplements that all fund the Second American Revolution at thealexjonesstore.com. Let me show you a few more of these. Now that the FDA admits fluoride does lower your IQ and give you cancer and infertility, it's a great time to wear one of these beautiful hats, and it's a great way to start a conversation and warn people. Here's the classic Make America Great Again Murdered Out, and we've got the Save the Frogs, over 50 designs, all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it keeps us on air and it spreads the word. Please go to alexjonesstore.com and get your Patriot gear.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of American Journal is on. Coming to you live from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. We have some international news, and I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls. But an article just dropped from Amuse on X, I think is worth, honestly, I want to read the whole thing, but it's worth at least pointing to some of the more pertinent points that they're making about the plans for the Democrats after the election. So we'll go to that in just a second. First, in international news, Israel evacuation orders hit entirety of Lebanon's ancient city of Baalbek. This is disturbing. The Israeli military issued on the 30th of October, for the first time ever, an evacuation order of the entirety of the eastern Lebanese city of Baalbek, an ancient city with UNESCO World Heritage status. And there are massive, nearly complete temples there from 1,100 years ago. And people are very worried will be damaged by the indiscriminate bombing of Israel. They have bombed Baalbek, as far as I know. The ancient ruins have so far escaped destruction. A leaked draft of the Lebanon deal shows it would include global oversight, Israeli freedom to act, a ceasefire proposal between Israel and Hezbollah that the U.S. is pushing. It begins with a 60-day implementation period, during which time the Lebanese army will deploy along the border and confiscate Hezbollah arms in southern Lebanon, according to a draft agreement. IDF forces will exit Lebanon within 7 days, in the end, 7 days of the end of hostilities, and will be replaced by Lebanese armed forces, U.N. peacekeepers, facilitating the transition. So I imagine this is probably not something that will actually go into effect, but it is at least a draft and a beginning of the discussion of perhaps winding down the operation in Lebanon. However, the U.S. ambassador to Lebanon promotes internal uprising to assist Israel. A high-ranking Lebanese security source revealed to Al Akhbar newspaper that the U.S. ambassador to Lebanon, Lisa Johnson, is continuing her agenda to prepare Lebanon for a post-Hezbollah era by mobilizing internal forces against the Islamic Resistance Movement while it fights the Israeli army. In discussions with Lebanese politicians, Johnson reportedly said, "Israel cannot achieve everything through war. It's time for you to do your part and launch an internal uprising under the banner of enough." And we, of course, told you that one of the only possible tactics by which Israel could take on Hezbollah would be to start a civil war in Lebanon, which is what they've tried over and over again. But at this point, Lebanon's just not really falling for it anymore. If they would have, then they would have. And finally, we have, well, we also have Russia, North Korea getting involved in Ukraine. Russia asks at UN, if West aids Ukraine, why can't North Korea help us? Drones hunt civilians in the streets of Ukrainian city of Kherson. Russian drones hunt civilians. And it's one of these things that I just had to include this one because it was just one of, like, you know, a whole bunch of stories about Ukraine today. But it's just one of these things. It's like, man, really need to appreciate how thoroughly into a dystopian future we have come. That's just like way down the line, just amongst all the other headlines, is just this little note: drones hunt humans in Ukrainian city. It's just like, is this normal now? Is this, we're not even, this isn't even a big deal. It's not even a major story. This is just reality now that you've got autonomous killing drones murdering human beings. Great. So that's just a new existential horror to consider. Up to 170,000 soldiers may have fled the Ukrainian army. Zelensky looks to increase recruitment, by which he means sends out press gangs to shove fathers into vans and then blow them up. Yeah, 170,000 soldiers ditching their positions. Not a great endorsement for the war effort. Finally, we have this. Spain cancels arms deal with Israeli company worth billions. The Spanish government has canceled a contract to buy ammunition for its Civil Guard police force from an Israeli defense company, Madrid announced in a statement on October 29th. The Spanish government maintains its commitment to not sell weapons to the Israeli state since the armed conflict broke out in the territory of Gaza, says Spain's interior ministry. Although in this case, it's an acquisition of ammunition, the interior ministry has initiated the administrative procedures to cancel the purchase. And then in a totally unrelated story that has nothing to do with the previous one, Spain flood death toll expected to rise as dozens missing. And there's videos of this. It is a truly unprecedented natural disaster. Clip 24. I'm going to go ahead and roll this as B-roll. Rescue efforts are continuing in Spain as it endures its worst flooding disaster in decades. At least 95 people confirmed dead, dozens more missing after huge rains swept the eastern province of Valencia and beyond. Torrential rains on Tuesday triggered flash floods, which swept away bridges and buildings and forced people to climb on roofs or cling to trees to survive. The images coming out are unimaginable, especially the amount of flooding that's happening without any rain. That's kind of odd. But I want to assure you, it has absolutely nothing to do with the Israeli arm deal. Okay, that's ridiculous. How could it? I mean, what are you talking about? The flooding in Spain, the massive, unprecedented, once in a millennia flooding that just happened to arrive the day after they canceled the giant arms deal with Israel, these are two unrelated events that have nothing to do with each other, okay? All right, so I just want to make it clear. These have nothing to do with each other. All right. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls. In this last segment, we'll be able to take a few for sure. Give us a call at American Journal, 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call about any of the topics that we've covered today. And before we get into Soros-backed war games, prepare 175 top U.S. leaders for a violent resistance against Trump victory, let's take a little trip back to the good old days of 2016 before Anna Kasparian got attacked by her own side and started to free herself from the clutches of the cult. Shall we? Let's watch.
But am I saying that I'm better than you? I guess I'm going a little further than you are. Yeah, I'm better than you, okay? Much better than you. You are garbage, okay? If you get a rise out of attacking the powerless, you're garbage. And you can call me a social justice warrior. You can call me whatever the fuck you want. At this point, I don't give a shit, okay? That's it. That's who I am. And it is what it is.
Whew. Yeah, those Republicans really need to tone down the rhetoric, don't they? We all need to tone down the rhetoric, don't we? You are garbage. Hey, but hey, she wasn't president of the United States. It is a little different. It is a little bit different. And it's fine, Anna. We laughed at you then. We're laughing at you now. Just you can just come over to our side, and then we can all laugh at libtards together, okay? We don't take you seriously. We don't actually care that you call us garbage, because we're not garbage, and you can't hurt our feelings. So stop actually hanging out with the literal garbage. And join us on the good side that loves everyone and doesn't want the country to descend into absolute chaos and misery, which is exactly what they're planning. Again, I am tempted just to read this article verbatim. I'm not going to, but you should. It's from Amuse on X. Soros-backed war games prepare 175 top U.S. leaders for violent resistance against Trump victory. With the election just 5 days away, the rhetoric from Democratic leaders and their allies have taken a distinct and ominous turn. It's becoming increasingly clear that the Democratic Party is actively preparing its constituency for what it perceives as an existential threat, a Republican victory next week. Leading figures in the party, from the sitting president to vice president and beyond, are cultivating a narrative that dehumanizes Republicans, primes their supporters for violent resistance, and sets the stage for a crisis that could threaten the very stability of the Republic. These efforts go hand in hand with a series of war games, including Democracy's Future Project, held less than six months ago in Washington, D.C., where 175 of the most senior and influential government officials, academics, activists, governors, cabinet members, military officers, and grassroots leaders came together to normalize the concept of overturning the outcome of the presidential election if Donald Trump wins in November. When Kamala Harris refers to Donald Trump as a fascist, or when President Joe Biden calls his supporters garbage, these are not slips of the tongue. They're calculated declarations designed to ignite fear and loathing within their base. Democrats, armed with propaganda of mainstream media, paint a picture of Trump and his supporters as a malignant force in American society. It is rhetoric not unlike that used in history to set the groundwork for total warfare against an internal enemy, the type that makes dehumanizing your opposition not just acceptable but moral. The Rwandan genocide of the 1990s serves as a grim reminder of where such rhetoric can lead. In Rwanda, Hutu extremists used dehumanizing language, referring to the Tutsi minority as cockroaches that needed to be exterminated, which paved the way for one of the worst genocides in modern history. The parallels in language should serve as a stark warning of the dangers inherent in normalizing such vilification. And it goes on to talk about just all the other ways that they're equating Trump to the greatest villains in history, as well as his supporters. They say the reliance on incendiary rhetoric should not be surprising. When Hillary Clinton referred to Trump supporters as a basket of deplorables in 2016, she laid the foundation for a more aggressive form of disdain for half the electorate. Fast forward to the Biden-Harris era, and the dehumanizing rhetoric has only escalated. President Biden labeled Trump supporters as garbage, echoing and amplifying Clinton's infamous comment, but it doesn't end with leaders at the top. They go on to talk about the thought leaders on the left, like Joy Reid and Whoopi Goldberg, referring to Trump's supporters as cockroaches. Again, pointing to the Tutsis and Hutu conflict in Rwanda in the 1990s, which is a nice break from referencing World War II, because the truth is that all genocides start with the dehumanization process. Rwanda is no different from World War II in that regard. Conditioning for conflict. While their rhetoric is alarming on its own, it serves an even larger, more dangerous purpose, conditioning the military, law enforcement, and the Democratic base for conflict. The Atlantic's Jeff Goldberg and others have been particularly prolific in advancing the idea that Donald Trump not only disdains the military, but seeks to use it as an extension of his will akin to fascist leaders like Hitler and Mussolini. According to recent articles, Trump supposedly envies the respect Hitler commanded from his generals. And we've been over that a million times. General Milley actually sought to prevent Trump from ordering the military to take actions Milley didn't agree with. Furthermore, Milley even claimed he had contacted the Chinese military, promising them he would personally warn them if Trump planned any attack. These actions reflect an alarming trend of senior military figures feeling empowered to circumvent the established chain of command, further fueling the narrative of distrust and division. Something that we've reported on many times. Democrats such as Jamie Raskin have even floated scenarios involving Congress using the 14th Amendment to prevent Trump from taking office, citing insurrection. In one viral video, Raskin made it 100% clear that if Trump wins on November 5th, he and his Democratic allies in Congress have a plan to ensure that Trump will not take the oath of office or set foot in the White House again. He even acknowledged that their actions would likely result in civil war. Raskin stated he was ready for that outcome, an allusion to the fact that the Biden-Harris regime has already purged conservatives from the rank of the military using COVID as a pretext. Again, every step of the way, InfoWars has been there warning you that this was the inevitable consequence of all of these various methods of subversion and infiltration. This is why they did it. I mean, it's not really that complicated at all. I go on to talk about the pretext of violence with Antifa and Black Bloc serving as the foot soldiers. And again, pointing to the fact that not only are these things being put into place and ready to be activated, they have actually had war games where they're strategizing exactly how to do this. 175 of the most senior and influential individuals in government, academia, activism, and military ranks participated in tabletop exercises in June and May of this year, including former governors, retired military officers. These exercises were not merely hypothetical scenarios. They were aimed at normalizing the idea of overturning a legitimate election outcome if Trump were to win. These war games included discussions on potential cabinet responses, military action, civil resistance, and law enforcement maneuvers, all geared towards disrupting a Trump victory and fostering division. So, yeah, this is all very obvious and real. The New York Times and Washington Post have also run extensive pieces on the supposed need for mass mobilization if Trump wins, calling on Democratic supporters to riot in response. And just like Event 201 preceded the rollout of COVID-19, war games played out in June and May have set the stage for the rollout of the project should Trump win the election. So it needs to be taken seriously, and probably just like Event 201, the majority of the plans being put into place are all about the media. It's all about communication. It's all about information. If they can stop their enemies from communicating, if they can push the message that this is a dangerous civil war scenario, that you should trust the process and the authorities are in charge and the experts have decided, it's all about messaging. It's all about informational control. That's how you pull something like this off or pull something like COVID off. That's why they are doing this. That's why they're orchestrating. That's why it's important now more than ever that InfoWars be on the air to provide you the alternative messaging, the reality messaging, and inform you, should the worst come to pass, about what their intentions are. With that, let's go out to your calls. Captain Matthews in the District of Columbia has called in. Thank you for calling in. Captain, you are on the air.
I am. Thank you very much. I appreciate everything you guys are doing. I'm making an emergency appeal right now. I moved to D.C. a couple years ago, finally decided to vote. Open up the voter guide, and the second page says non-citizenship D.C. residents and voting, allowing non-citizens to vote in this election. And I was kind of like throwing up my arms, but then yesterday the Supreme Court ruled on October 30th, you can look it up in the Supreme Court dockets, that non-citizens cannot vote in American elections. This is important. This will stop the voter nullification and the replacement voters in Virginia, but this applies to all jurisdictions, and it applies to here in D.C. So I'm at the federal court right now to get an emergency order seeking a writ of mandate. I have to file a civil case, get an ex parte, seeking injunctive relief. And this is open to all attorneys, paralegals, legal counsels, pro ses, and candidates can do this tomorrow or today if you can pull it off fast enough, and even serve it as late as Monday. I'm asking that they set aside all non-citizen ballots that all voters, if they're not been identified as non-citizens, their citizenship must be checked for its eligibility. And the voter rolls must be purged from non-citizens. This has to happen immediately. And I don't know if it's going to affect the outcome of the election in this city or in other jurisdictions, but I implore you all now to do this. It's possible. This should have been happening. I can't believe they waited so long to do this, but thank God they did it. It happened on Wednesday, 5 days before the election. But we can get emergency orders. I recommend everyone. This is probably the only and last way. MoveOn.org has announced they're going to surge the polls in the next couple of days. They're already doing it with up to 20 million non-citizen voters. They won't be able to check their citizenship until after the election, and it's too late. Once those ballots are opened up and they get tallied, they get put in the pool, it's done. There's no post-election challenge that can stop that. It has to happen in the next 5 days.
Okay, so what has to happen? What should people do?
Yeah, they have to get an emergency order from a federal court stating they're a violation of federal law. The case, I do have the case number if you like, they're a violation of federal law that non-citizens are not allowed to vote in American elections, period. And this could put all the laws that the Democrats have passed allowing this, even in local elections. They're all vacated. They're all, they have no, the federal law supersedes these state laws. They're allowing non-citizens to vote.
So, and you're exactly right. Like, this has to be stopped before Election Day. We even are seeing it with the story that we covered earlier in the show. Chinese student to face criminal charges for voting in Michigan. Ballot will apparently count because, like you said, I mean, once the votes are counted, it's pretty much impossible to go back and identify which ones were legit and which ones weren't. So it has to be stopped beforehand. Again, if somebody's listening to this, they're probably not, chances are they're not secretaries of state. What can they do? Who should they call? Where should they go? If we want to get this emergency injunction, what's the process for doing that?
Find an attorney that can do this. Normally there's election attorneys, but they're few and far between. But this is eligible to anyone. It's called the writ. You have to file a writ. And the writ is the only action that a citizen can do, even on someone else's behalf. But you can file it yourself as a pro se, as a self-represented litigant. It's possible. I filed many of them. I know how to do this. It's eligible. The Supreme Court has ruled that individuals who file as self-represented litigants actually deserve special solicitude. They listen to them more. And you think about this. The Miranda decision, we all know about, was filed by a federal inmate in federal prison on a brown paper bag, without an attorney, and he changed American jurisprudence. If anyone has the courage to try this, go to the federal court. They'll give you a packet. It looks daunting, but just go straight to the application, start filling it out, do the best you can. There are attorneys that can help you.
Walk me through this, Captain Matthew. Explain it like I'm five. I go to the federal courthouse. What do I say to them?
You say, I want to get an emergency order, and they'll tell you have to file a civil case. They're going to give you a big, thick packet, and they have a packet just for pro se litigants, for self-represented litigants, and that's the federal term for it. And they'll give you a packet. There's like 30 pages of explanations. I mean, there are things to know, but at the end of the packet has the actual forms you can fill out, and they're relatively simple. Just talk about, this is important, you will suffer as a voter irreparable harm, that your vote will be vacated, will be nullified by a replacement voter, by a non-citizen voter. So this is important for federal court. You must explain that you will suffer irreparable harm.
Okay, so
that's what you put in the documents. They'll have the documents for you. Fill them out the best you can. Once you present them to the clerk, you ask the clerk to review it, and she'll put little red check marks and tell you to correct it on the spot, or that you take it back to the table and sit down and make the corrections. You want to keep a copy for yourself. You submit it to them. You ask for an emergency order. I'm going to hopefully see the judge tomorrow morning, and the judge will decide if she'll allow me to proceed in as an emergency order. Ask me more questions.
When you're filling out the form and you put in, irreparable damage, to stealing my vote, all the stuff that you just said, do you need to know the case number that you're relying on? Do you need to know the decision that was made? Is there a place for that in the form? Is there anything else that you need to know in the form?
It's relatively simple. You just go on. You can go to the USSupremeCourt.gov, and you just type in an order from Wednesday. I mean, here, I'll give you the order right here. You just, it's, and you put the name of, you don't actually file this, file against the state of, you file against the name of the registrar of voters in that county. You just put her personal name because you are personally suing her. The name of the case is called, gosh darn, I thought I wrote it down.
Well, as you find it, just to reiterate, you go to the federal courthouse.
Yes.
You ask to make an injunction, or you ask to, what was the term that you used? What do you say exactly to
you're seeking an emergency order.
Emergency order.
And you ask, and this is very careful. A lot of the clerks will say, I can't give legal advice. You're not seeking legal advice. The word you want to use is procedure. What are the procedures for giving you an emergency order? It's a general question. They have to put down their pencil and answer procedural questions.
Okay.
So they'll educate them on that. So she says, oh, you want an emergency order? Well, you have to file a civil case, you against the Secretary of State's name. And then
the Secretary of State or the Register of Voters, is that the same person?
No, they're not. You can do it against the county, but you want to go for the state registrar of voters. So in the district of Columbia, yes, I would recommend that. The problem is you have to find how to serve the document. You can call them and tell them that there's an emergency hearing, but you want to try to serve it as well. You have to go to find out their agent of service, if it's directly to the office, or if you can't necessarily file it online. It's a little bit complex. And so I don't know yet here. I haven't done this in federal court, so I'll find out what the specific terms are. The worst that they can say is on Monday, oh, we never got served. That's a risk. So it is a little bit tricky there. And I don't know specifically what the feds are right now, but so that's you can find that out. When you ask the questions, it's actually in the packet. I know there is serving instructions in the packet.
Were you able to find the case number?
Gosh darn.
We're running out of time. So is there somewhere online where you can send people if they want to know more about this or you know, want to do it but aren't quite sure? Is there anywhere people can find out about this, or do you have a social media account?
I didn't expect to have this to happen. here it is. Here it is. It's Susan Beals is the Secretary of State of Virginia. Or she's the... I think the secretary. It doesn't matter. You just leave her name. All you need, you don't sue the agency. You have to sue the person. Versus the Virginia Coalition for Immigrants' Rights.
Virginia Coalition for Immigrants' Rights. So that's the case that you're citing.
Yes, and there is a federal law, and I don't have it on hand here. I didn't expect this. Look up the federal law that doesn't allow non-citizens for voting.
I'll tell you what, Matthew, we got 30 seconds left in this show. I would love if you would call back in tomorrow and we can revisit this, because we're rapidly running out of time. I mean, you got to get this done today. So thank you so much for calling in. And if any of our viewers or listeners want to go try this out and call in tomorrow and tell us where they are in the procedure, I imagine you can do it today, then you have maybe tomorrow, and then by Monday it might be too late. So go now and act on this. And Captain Matthews, please call us back tomorrow, and we'll break this down even farther. Thank you for joining us, folks. That's it for American Journal.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you know that the pesticides that are in our food and in our water destroy natural gut health, not to mention all the chlorine and chemicals in the tap water that then also gets into the crops and the food. It's just all around us. So the globalists have been doing this by design. Bill Gates is basically investing billions of dollars in trying to manipulate the guts of people with so-called mRNA vaccines. It's insane. But all the research is just overwhelming that happy gut means happy, healthy body. We now have the ultimate gut combo with the ultimate probiotic with 60 billion, super high quality, with this baby, Ultimate Gut Cleanse. Now, these are both private labeled, some of the top brands in the country. Our sponsors had to make it a little bit stronger, so it's proprietary. And the probiotic's very exciting and just a foundational thing that everybody should be doing. This is amazing. It's not just a gut cleanse. In fact, we may rename it down the road to Gut Cleanse, Detox, Anti-Parasite, Pro-Prostate. Because it's concentrated, it's super strong, and it's got the gut cleanse, it's got the anti-parasite, it's got the saw palmetto for not just your prostate. It's good for all your glands. But even the government's admitted for decades, saw palmetto is insane. Look it up. So this is beyond a gut cleanse. It's got the trifecta going. I don't have time to read to you all of the amazing ingredients in this, but You can get Ultimate Gut Cleanse for 30 to 50% off, depending on how many bottles you get. And you can get Ultimate Probiotic for 30 to 50% off, depending on how many bottles you get. Or you can get both together in the Ultimate Combo for 50% off as an introductory offer right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's going to keep the broadcast on the air. That's a win-win. Please take action.